I'm going to tell you something. I've been excited about this series of messages that we're going to share in the next few weeks. But it's scary for me because I think it's something we really need to hear. And it's something that God is very clear and really has some wisdom about. And now the challenge is, can I present it well? You know, it's God's word. I want to make sure you know, as we look at this and we go through these kind of things, dating, it's not just dating's about marriage and marriage is about dating. And it's scary because God has teaching this. I want to make sure you know something. I'm not going to stand here and say, you know what, I got this down. If you talk to Laura, she can tell you, I don't have this marriage thing down, all right? You know, it's tough to be married. It's hard to go through that relationships and to stick with it. And it's difficult. The marriage life is not easy. And I don't have all the answers. And so as I go through this, don't think, well, he's got all the answers and he's got it down. I don't. I'm still struggling. I'm going to talk about dating. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've made some mistakes dating. You know, I messed up during those dating years and made some unwise decisions about people I went out with and people I hung with. And I did all that. But I want to make sure I start with that foundation. But I want you to know there is something that can help us. And God has tremendous wisdom about dating and marriage and about our relationships. Because what's so tragic is divorce is at 50% for married couples. They say 50% of marriages end in divorce. And I want to say why. You know, why is it that 50% of marriages end in divorce? I mean, can we do something about it? And what's going on? And I want to approach that this morning. But see, because what we're doing isn't working. We look at society, and we look at the dating that's going on, and we look at marriage relationships, and it's just not working. 50% of failing, something's wrong. Yeah. When we make a movie called Friends with Benefits, shouldn't something say there's a problem? Yeah. That 50% of marriage fall, and here's a model. Or a movie years ago that I thought had a really good thing called Breaking Up. James Vaughn, Vaughn, and I don't know what his first name is, don't ask me. And that other lady, don't you like that? And about them breaking up, and it showed how the relationship, they moved into an apartment together and how sooner or later it just blew up. That was true. You know, it's no wonder, you know, we talk about hooking up and all of these things, and society has all this and say, just live together, you got to test drive. Well, it's not working. If it was working, that 50% would go down. It's been 50% for years. Do you know America leads the way in divorce? And I think it goes back to dating, and it goes all the way up to being married and the marriage life. And so as I preach this message, I want to make sure you understand, this is not a message just for the young who are dating. All right? If you're dating, you need to listen, okay? If you're thinking about dating someday, you need to listen. If you have kids that are dating, you need to listen. If you're a grandparent, like me, with kids who are going to go dating sooner or later, you need to listen. This is a message for everyone. It's not just for... If you're married, you need to listen. And it's not me. I want to make sure you understand. It's not about me that, Gary, oh, I got all these great revelations. I don't know. All I know is what God's Word says. And that's what I want us to delve into this morning. And that's what I want us to look at over these next few weeks. Today I want to talk about defective daters. Defective daters. What do we do wrong in those dating years? But also after we get married, there's a little implication about what happens after we get married too. But when we talk about defective daters, the things that we do wrong, hooking up, living together, everyone else is doing it. Everybody does it. Anybody hear those words? The one thing that's kind of good nowadays, at least in my perspective, drive-in movie theaters are pretty much gone. You know, anybody remember drive-in movie theaters? Come on now, some people my age, you know. The drive-in movie theater in the back seat of a car. Am I going too far? Am I touching some soft spots or what? You know, defective daters, what do we do? Do we set ourselves up for failure? Do we set our marriages up for failure? Do we make things happen? And can we change it? And that's what I want to offer this morning. I really believe God has a solution. I showed a verse last week. I'm going to start with that verse again this week. Look at this verse. Look at this verse here. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. Now, for guys, I'm going to tell you, that is true. But I want to make that as a spouse. He who finds a spouse. When you find that right person that you can give your heart and your life to, there's nothing like it. That's someone that you can open your life up, the good, the bad, the ugly, and here it is, and here I am, and you'll love me like I am, and you accept me like I am, my faults, my failures, my mistakes. That's what marriage is about, and that's what he's saying here. When you can find that person, and I want to make sure you understand something. I get aggravated as a pastor when people say times have changed and it's different today. I watched a movie last night. I like old shows. I like Netflix. I like old shows. I was watching a movie, and it's comedy. I was watching Bob Hope and Lucille Ball. Anybody know who Bob Hope and Lucille Ball? Some of you guys are going, I don't know who they are. Yeah. It's called The Facts of Life. Movie made in the 60s. They were trying to have an affair. They went out, and they were working on having an affair. This is the 60s. Now, the difference between that movie and what we see today is today's movies show them in bed and show everything else. Then they just left you wondering what happened. I watched a John Wayne movie a long, long time ago. Watched a John Wayne, I think it's In Harm's Way, it's best guess, I can't remember. And it shows him getting ready to ship out. The night before shows him walking out of a nurse's house as he leaves. Left our imagination. Well, things have changed. No, what? We're still doing the same thing, whether it's 50 years later or 100 years. We haven't learned. See, and society is afraid of this because here's the problem. We got to be, what do they want to, how's they want to this? Politically correct. And if you want to save a marriage, you're going to have to save a marriage. You want to save daddy, you got to save it with God. And society doesn't want to admit that. They want to say sleep together. They want to say have an affair. That strengthens your marriage. It's called open marriage. There's a book called Open Marriage that tells you have an affair. They wrote a book, literally. They wrote a book called Open Marriage says have an affair. After they had the affairs in their marriage, they wrote a book called Shifting Gears that says we made a mistake. I could have said, duh, I would have told you before you started. Yeah. So what are some of those defective daters? What is the things that we do that's defective? That makes it go wrong. That makes things happen. I'm going to use a shopping illustration. I'm going to use two shopping terms as we go through this. I'm going to begin with this one. If you look at your outline, if you haven't got it out, let me encourage you to get it. I'm going to get mine out and kind of look at this. Defective daters are impulse buyers. All right? They're impulse buyers. Anybody here go to Costco? Anybody? Anybody? Okay, I see a few hands out there. Costco is an impulse buyer's heaven, all right? You walk into Costco to get one or two things, and you walk out of Costco with a shopping cart overflowing. I don't know if you're like me. I got to go down the DVD aisle. I walk into Costco. The first aisle I go to, Laura goes to food. I go to the DVD aisle. What do they have in DVDs? You know, what's coming in? You just can't go to Costco and buy a few things. It's an impulse. You just go in there. Why do you think grocery stores put milk at the back of the store? Anybody got an idea? Because when you go buy milk, you got to go down the cookie aisle or the chip aisle or the soda aisle. And, well, you know that. We can use that too. And we live in this impulse. We buy this impulse. And what I want to say is some of us and some people date impulsively. They just date because all my friends are dating. I haven't watched, and I just never got into the show, Sex in the City. I never really watched an episode of that, but as I was going through the channel the other day, or was it Friends or one of the shows? I can't remember. Maybe it was Friends. It was one of those kind of shows. And they were talking, and this girl, all her friends were dating, and she just broke up with her boyfriend, and she didn't want to go out with him because she didn't have a boyfriend anymore. It's like she's got to find somebody to go out with. Can't go out by myself. I can't be by myself. My friend's getting married, and this one's doing this. I got to have a boyfriend. Yeah, I'm 16. I'm 15. I'm 13. I got to get a boyfriend. I tell you what's amazing to me, being a part of the school, these kids at 10 years old are wanting boyfriends and girlfriends at 10 years old. Yeah. We have this impulse dating. We want to hook up. We want to find somebody. We want to jump from bed to bed or jump from one relationship to another relationship. And we get in this impulse dating. And I want to fight that. And here's what I want to share with you this morning. There's a secret that society really doesn't want you to know. That this political correctness doesn't want you to understand. They tell us divorce is 50%. 50% of every marriage gets a divorce. That's not exactly true. That's not correct. Not 50% of marriages get divorced. There's something you can do that can change that. There's something you can do that can cut the chance on divorce in half. Think about that. Nearly in half. Let me give you an illustration. Let's say today church is going to get out at a reasonable hour. I'm not going to guarantee that, but we'll just go with that premise. All right? And you're going to go out of the exit here, and they got it blocked. Let's say there's something going on, and they got something going on, and you have to turn to your right, and you got to go through that exit. You got to go through that turn, that intersection over there called Toombs and Kernan Road. Anybody know the intersection right there? Toombs and Kernan? You're going to have to go through that intersection. But I'm going to tell you, everyone that goes through that intersection after church, 50% of you are going to have an accident. Guaranteed. You got to go that way, and 50% are going to have an accident. You go through that, 50%. No way, nothing, 50%. But I got a secret that you can cut that nearly in half. That you can cut nearly in half that. Yeah, you got to go that way, but nearly half, you can cut nearly in half that. Your chance on having that. How many would be willing to take that chance? Anybody? Anybody? Man, some of you guys are, you're going to roll the dice, huh? It's the same thing with marriage. It's the same thing with marriage. There's something you can do that cuts your chance on divorce in half. Here's what the scripture says. Look at what it says. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common, or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Here's the secret. Do not be yoked. Now, I'm not talking about eggs, okay, anybody? It's not eggs, okay? A yoke is the thing that goes on an animal's neck, an oxen or a horse that they were going to pull things with. And you'd always want two animals that match. You wouldn't hook a donkey and an oxen together to pull. You got to have a match. They got to match. Otherwise, you're going to have problems. And what this verse is simply saying is Christians need to marry Christians. What this verse says is real simple. Christian marriages do not have the same divorce rate as other marriages. I guarantee you. Did you know that? When they say 50% of marriages end in divorce, they're not right. Here's this next chart. I want you to look at this chart here. I put a chart up here. Oh, man. I messed up. I didn't show it on the screen. It shows well on the computer. It doesn't show well on the screen. Bottom of the screen, it says you never attend church. You got a 50% chance on your marriage ending in divorce. If you never attend church. Now, this is important for whether you're dating someone or you're married. If you don't go to church, you got a 50% chance on divorce. Less than once a year, you got a 46%. About once or twice a year, I should have made it black. I didn't even look at this. You got a 46. Several times a year, thank you. Several times a year, 42. About once a month, 42. Two or three times a month, 41. Never every week, 31. Every week, 27. Several times a week, 28. What does this tell you? If you're dating, you better marry a Christian. Period. If you're married, you better go to church. Why do you think I stand up here week after week saying you need to be in church on Sunday, you need a small group during the week, and you need somebody to say the hard things in your life? Isn't that what this chart says? Isn't that what the Bible says when Jesus says and what the scripture says? Don't be unequally yoked together. Marry a believer. Doesn't that make sense? This is really true. I want to make sure you understand. This is true. You can cut your divorce rate nearly in half. You can make your marriage and your partner selection perfect if you go by this principle. Do not be unequally yoked. Marry a Christian. Date a Christian. It's that simple. Guaranteed. as I wrote this message, and I've shared this with you before, I started going through my head in that youth group I grew up in. It was Laura and I and Laura's sister and my brother-in-law and my cousins and some other friends and some other friends. And I started counting the couples in this. It was Laura and I, that's two, and my brother-in-law and her sister, that's four, and my three cousins, the Cunningham girls, we called them, that's three, and their brother's another one, that's four, so there's eight people, and then there was the Weldy girls, that's two more, that's 10 people, then there was Darrell Weldy, their brother, that's another one, that's 11 people that was in this youth group, the core of this youth group. You want to know something? Every one of us are still married to the same person. We all married Christians, and we're still married to the same person. This is not my idea. This is not something Gary thought up. I'm telling you, plain out. No ifs, ands, buts about it. You date a Christian, you marry a Christian, and you go to church, and you get in a small group. You want your marriage to last? It's not just about church. It's not just about God. You know, is God trying to be intolerant? Oh, God's mean. He's intolerant. He doesn't love those out there. Well, he died for them. I think that's love. You want your marriage to succeed? I need to see you every week. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. You want your marriage to succeed? You need to be in your small group during the week, twice a week. It makes a difference. God in the center of a marriage makes a difference in our lives. Now, as we go through this, I want to make sure you understand this and make sure you get the picture here. You need, and this is something that, if you're dating and if you're married, you need to ask, will you be in church? I know some of you are single, some of you are here and your husband's not here. You need to be here. Paul talks about that. You can read on in Corinthians. Again, you got to have a Bible. You need to read on in Corinthians, the book of Corinthians. He talks about being a spouse whose spouse doesn't come. It's there in Corinthians, chapter 6, 7, and 8. You can read all about it on your own time. They only give me 30 minutes, but I'm going to take 45. But you can read that on your own. And you can see he says stay together, all right? Just if you're here and your spouse isn't here, the Bible says stay together. You need to do that. But here's what I want to make sure you understand, and I want to give you. Defective daters, they impulse. They'll date anybody. They'll date everybody. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter. Everybody's dating. I got to have somebody to go out with tonight. Who can I call? Who will go out with me? You know, it's prom. Whatever. I'm telling you, don't date anybody that's not a Christian. If you're a Christian, get in church and be there week in, week out. Get a small group. Week in, week out. It will change your marriage. It will strengthen your marriage. But here's what I want to make sure you know. Don't assume anything. If you look at your outline, my next point is this. It goes like this. Ask and listen. Don't assume. Don't take things for granted. Ask and listen. Ask them to tell you. Ask them to share. Look what the scripture says. I think I got the scripture here. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Ask them. If you're going to go out with somebody, if you're going to date, ask them, are you a Christian? Well, no. Don't ask them that. Because here, if you ask them if you're a Christian, they'll go like this. I've been a Christian all my life. I go to church. I'm a very spiritual person. I believe in God. I know who Jesus is. And you'll get all sorts of answers like that. And then it's like, I'm a Christian, but church isn't just my thing. I can't find a church that I like. I work on Sundays. And you'll find all this. Here's the question. I want to make sure I spelled it out real good for you. Listen. You ask and you listen, but here's the question. Look at this. I made it real simple. You want to write this down. Tell me your story. Tell me your story. They got to have a story. Tell me your story. If I'm going to date you, tell me your story. Let me know how you became a Christian. There's a before story, And there's an after story. Before I became a Christian, this is what my life was like. I was a normal, everyday teenage boy, 16, 17 years old. Really not that bad. I wasn't into drugs. I wasn't into alcohol. That wasn't my thing. But that just, I was just far from God. I was doing my own thing. My thing was to get a car and to drive fast. That's what I wanted to do. Anybody? Yeah. That's what I was into. Then at 17 years old, I got involved with my cousins in a church. Washing cars at a car wash to go to a youth camp. And it changed my life. And I go on with my story. Get them to tell their story. Tell me how you met Jesus Christ. Tell me how you became acquainted with God. Before and after. Don't just, well, I'm a Christian. And I want to tell you something else. Don't think, well, I can change him or I can change her. It ain't going to happen. You need to know that. God's the one that does the changing anyway, and you're going to have to hope and pray. I've had people come to me crying because their spouse isn't who they thought that spouse should be in God. Literally. As a pastor, I've had people come to me with tears in their eyes, broken because their spouse isn't the person they thought spiritually they were. You got to ask and you got to listen. Get them to tell the story. Get them to share with you their experience with God. Don't buy, well, I've been a Christian all my life. You know, my grandparents went to church. My great-grandfather was a preacher. Now, I mean, that's true in my life. But when I was 17 years old, I wasn't no Christian. I've shared with you. If you want to rate sins, my biggest sin was my sailor language. I knew those words. I knew how to use them well. And I could string them together really good. But God changed all that. Get them to tell you the story. Don't buy anything less than a story about God. I'm a spiritual person. Doesn't cut it. It doesn't work. Well, I'm a Christian, but I just haven't found the right church. Don't cut it. Well, I work on Sundays. Well, you know, sometimes you have to work on Sunday. You know what? We're going to have a Saturday night service someday, but Big Valley has one right now. And we got a lot of people at Big Valley. There's no excuse. If you want to strengthen your marriage or you're going to drive through that intersection and take a 50-50 chance, go for it. But I'm not. I'm going to look and listen. I want to hear the story. Tell me the story. But don't just look and listen, because some people can tell you good stories. You know anybody that can tell good stories? Anybody? I mean, they can really tell you a good story. Yeah. You know, they're good at telling stories. So not only do you need to look and listen, you need to, if you look at your outline, you need to watch and see. You need to watch and see. Oh, I'm a Christian. But what's their attitude like? What's their heart like? I'm going to tell you, if you're dating, how do they treat their parents? How do they treat their brother and sister? How do they treat their friends? Check that attitude. Check that heart. See what's going on. I'm going to get into this. If we go through the messages, we're going to have some other ones. You know, here, write this verse down there somewhere. Write Galatians chapter 5, 22, 23, 24, in that area there. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to get there as we go through the series of messages, because you need to start checking these off when you're looking. No impulse buying. You need to start checking these things off. Like you're going to go grocery shopping, no impulse buying. You get you a list. You go to the store. I got one that's really good at this. Here's my list. They go in and they buy what's on the list. If it's not on the list, they don't buy it. Yeah. Make that list. There's 9 of them. Don't measure up. Throw him out. Throw her out. I mean, you want a lifelong relationship, don't you? Don't you want one that's permanent? Don't you want one that you can just open yourself up and give totally? Yeah. Check out the church situation. Seriously. Watch the church situation. Are they involved? Are they part of it? Or are they hard metal chair warmers? Are they taking part in what's going on? They have a ministry. They have something they're contributing to. You know, what's that church? How's the church role? Where's the church in their lives? As they tell you the story, does their story match what you see? Ask and listen. Watch and see. Put them together. See what's going on. Do they have what they say? It's easy to get caught up in this impulse. And who's everybody and what's everybody and what they're doing. So I put it this way. I just like this. No impulse dating, all right? Listen to me. No impulse dating. I put the verse down there again. I want to make sure you looked at that verse again. No impulse dating. If he's not a Christian, listen to me. If he's not a Christian, dump him. You go home today. You walk out of here. You pull your cell phone out. You punch that number in and you tell him goodbye. Period. I'm serious. If you want a lifelong marriage and you want a lifelong relationship, dump him or dump her. Go. Well, he'll change. She'll change. It don't work. I've seen people in a relationship that 20 years down the road, it hasn't changed. I've seen some that do. I'm not going to say it doesn't. I'm not saying God doesn't love them. I'm saying if you want a lifelong marriage, make a decision to date a Christian. If you're here this morning, make a decision to be in church if you have a marriage. Do you hear me? And it's not about me. You know, I hope you come here. I need more people here. But go somewhere where you tie into the Word of God that preaches God's Word. This isn't my idea. I want you to make sure you see this. This isn't Gary saying, here's a good idea. This is what God says. I'm a grandparent. I'm praying for my grandkids right now. I shared with you. We're sitting on the couch and we're watching TV. And I sat there with my granddaughters and I told them I was praying for their spouses. And one looked at me like, man, I'm weird. She did. She looked at me like, what? You know, just had this. But I said, yep, I'm praying for who you're going to choose as a mate. And I'm praying now. I did for my kids. I'm praying for my grandkids. They can think I'm weird. I was reading, I wanted to use a cartoon. I was going to put it in the bulletin or on the screen. It was a cartoon I seen years ago, and I Googled it, and I found it, but it's copyrighted. And so I couldn't use it. It's a grandpa sitting in a chair reading a book. And it's like his 20-year-old or grandson comes up and goes, Grandpa, what did you use for safe sex? And he says, the wedding ring. Duh. We need to step back in this and we need to think about this. Don't impulse date. Everybody's doing it. We're all going out with everybody. Don't do it. The best time we had, and you know Laura was young when we dated. You guys all know, you've seen some of the pictures. We couldn't date. Her mom's sitting there. I got to watch what I say. She wouldn't let us date. They wouldn't let us date because she was younger than 16. And we couldn't go out. You know how we dated? With the youth group. Wherever the youth went, that was our date. You know, and we could still be crazy, and I was. I could tell you some stories of crazy things I did. You know, but we dated with our youth group. You know, and that's how we got to see one another for a couple of years until she turned 16. Don't you like the way I said that? You know? Now it's 35 years of marriage, and Laura's put up with me, and I've made some mistakes. You know, I look back on, and I'm going to share this with you as I go through this series. I went off to college. We got married in September. We got married in June. We move off in September to Cal Baptist and go to school. I was into school. Fortunately, Laura was so naive, she put up with me because I did nothing with her. I went to school. That's all I cared. I was going to school. I mean, I was putting 18, 20 hours a day in school just married. Laura still gives me a bad time about that. And I deserve it. I was dumb. If you're going to date a Christian, none of this impulse dating. I'm telling you. Dump him. I'm at a point now, if you're going to come to me and get married, if he doesn't go to church, he's not a Christian, I ain't doing your wedding. Tough. All right? That's the way I feel nowadays. I hate doing weddings anyway, except for you who are here and the kids I grew up with or grew up with me here in the church. If you're not going to date a Christian, don't come and talk to me. Because you know what will happen? You'll date the Christian. You'll date this non-Christian. You'll get married. Then you come to me crying, I should have listened. Yeah, you should have listened. Yeah. None of this impulse dating. Am I clear? That's defective dater number one. No impulse dating. All right? Marry a Christian. If you're married, go to church. Get in a small group. It will save your marriage. It will strengthen your marriage. It will give meaning to your marriage. It will give meaning to your life. I'm going to tell you, divorce is tragic. Divorce, anybody, some of you have been divorced, and I know that. And I'm going to tell you, if I ask anybody here that's been divorced, you would say it's painful. Would you not? I don't. Even if you had to get divorced, you had no other option because of whatever happened, you would say it's painful. There's collateral damage. You hurt. The kids hurt. Generations hurt. I remember going to do a wedding in the Blue Church. Some of you have no idea what the Blue Church was. It's an old church. You sit on the corner over there. Seated about 100 people. They wanted to do a wedding there. They wanted to have their fellowship, the reception after the wedding. I take them into the fellowship. I'm real plain. The fellowship hall seats 32 people. That's all. You're not going to crowd any more in there. Anybody remember that? The only 30, and that's crowded with 32. And they had more. And I said, well, here's what you can do. We can set tables up in these rooms, and you could have people kind of spread out through the whole building. And her response was this. Oh, that'll work really well. My mom and dad are divorced, and they don't get along. I'm going to tell you, as a kid, I want my parents married when I get married. I want my parents married so they can have my grandkids over, and they're married. I don't have to figure out, whose house am I going to go to? Where am I going to go? Everybody gets hurt. Divorce is not an option. I told all my kids, and this is something I say in my marriage, I have never used the D word in my marriage, and I never will. Not in a joking way, not in an intentional way, never. And I'm going to tell you, never use that word if you're married. Never jokingly, never pretend, never make fun of it, never say, never use that word about your marriage. I'm hyped up today, I think you can tell. Because I have a passion about this, because marriage is the center of life for our families. And the way the world is doing it and society says, this is okay, hook up, friends with benefits, test drive the car, the girl, the guy. And they're saying all this and you're going, it's not working, it's not working. 50% of the time it's not working. And you can cut that in half by tying in with God. You know, we'll do it with our car. Will you do it with your marriage? Let's move on to my next one. What's the next thing for defective daters? Defective daters are showroom shoppers. I like cop shows. You know, I wanted to be a cop at one time, and I watch a lot of cop shows. And we don't watch it always, just every once in a while. Saturday nights after setup, we go home, and there's really nothing on TV. You know, there's a lot of nothing on TV all the time. And it's called Party Heat. And what it is, it's cops patrolling Lake Havasu and various beaches for spring break. Really interesting, all right? I mean, I watched that. Just so you get my picture, I can understand. Now, ladies, you listen to me, all right? This is for the ladies, young ladies here. How can you find a guy, he's got a bathing suit that's around his knees, he's puking all over himself because he's drank 2 6-packs. Oh, man, he's hot. I'm serious now. They're showroom shoppers, all right? He's hot, man. Look at it. I'm watching these guys. They can't even stand up. They're puking everywhere. And then I see girls in these bikinis. And I got more material in this hand cloth than they have in their bikini. And I know what the guys are looking for. I'm a guy. I know what they're looking at. I know half of you want to watch it now because I've told you what's on. You know? They're showroom shoppers. Man, doesn't he look lovely? Man, look at him. He's puking over the side of the boat. I don't get it. I see a guy around the corner of my house has porn star in the window of his truck. Oh, I want to go out with him. Come on, girls. Yeah. The guy got those decals on their car. These look like naked women decals or mud flaps on their big 4x4 truck. You're showroom shopping for a truck. You like the truck, but you like it before you've seen the guy. Oh, man, he's hot. I'm saying, you know, do people date like that? Am I right? Have I missed the point, any of you? Do people date like that today? Yeah. I want to talk, you know, if you wear a bathing suit, I'm not one who advocates against bikinis because I always like looking at bikinis. Yeah, I have to be honest. I mean, come on. I mean, I have to be honest. If any guy here says they don't, they're lying. All right, ladies? You know? But I want to tell you something, ladies. This is for you ladies here. If you dress like you're trolling, you're bottom fishing. And you're going to get a bottom feeder. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you dress like you're trolling, you're bottom fishing. And you're going to get a bottom feeder. Is that really what you want to marry? A bottom feeder? Whatever you use to attract them, guys or girls, whatever you use to attract them is what you're going to have to use to keep them. And there's not much hope in that. What do you have? What? 18 to 28, 29 to look good, and then it's downhill from there? Come on now, you guys know I'm telling the truth. Oh, yeah, I'm over double. I don't look good. You know, what's bad, just real sidelight, what's bad when you get up and you're combing your hair and you look in the mirror and you say, man, I'm looking like my dad. Guy, ladies, you need to know, whatever your boyfriend's dad looks like, that's what he's going to look like. Guys, whatever her mother looks like, that's what she's going to look like, all right? Get used to it. What do you have? You have about, 10 years of looking good? Yeah. That six-pack, ladies, let me tell you, that six-pack he has, you think so hot? It's going to be a spare tire one day, all right? You know, those nice shaven legs, you know, those long shaven legs that look so good? They're going to have hell marks one of these days, okay? I'm serious. We got to think about this. You got to look at this. Look what the scripture says. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as unbraided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Doesn't that sound good? You got to look deeper than just what's on the outside. You can't just look on the outside. There's more to somebody than what you see. But so often, guys want a trophy wife. You know, little Barbie doll girl. Here's my wife. Ain't she hot? I don't care what anybody thinks about my wife. She's the hottest thing in this church. I'm serious. You guys are pale compared to her. All right? We need to feel that way. You need to look that way. We need to understand this. See, defective daters, they're showroom shoppers. They're looking at the outside. They're looking at how things look. They want that Barbie doll. Anybody remember the show? Anybody remember the movie called 10? Anybody old enough remember the movie called 10? Bo Derek? Anybody remember Bo Derek? Some of you don't know. There's a movie called 10, and 10 was a rating of women. You know, and he had this number 10, and it was Bo Derek. Supposed to be this gorgeous girl. I never thought she was that gorgeous, but that was just my opinion. I had some kids in seminary when I was at seminary. She wore a shirt that says she's number 10. He wore a shirt that says, I'm going with number 10. Yeah. You need to think your spouse is number 10, no matter what. Don't showroom shop. Don't look at the outside. You know, we can make the outside look really good. You ever buy anything? You know, some fruit, some vegetable, maybe a watermelon? I'm giving Ron a bad time. And you cut it open, and you look inside, and it's like, oh, no. You ever? It looks good on the outside, but when you cut, you got to think about when you're marrying, what's the outside, but no, what's the inside? What's in the heart? There was a show out there. Again, I like to talk about shows sometimes because I just every once in a while glance at them. I don't go to the movies that often. Shallow Hal. Anybody seen Shallow Hal? Yeah, he was one looking on the outside all the time. What's the outside look like? And they had a spell cast. It was a really cute show that made you think about how do you look at others. You know, some of these shows do have a good point sometimes. We need to stop and think about this. Man, you know, he looks good. He's hot. He's got money. Woo. I'm set for life. He drives that Ferrari. You know, lives in this nice house. Yeah, I'm going to marry him. And you marry a workaholic. Doesn't have time for you or your kids. Are you looking at this hot chick? You know, man, she, woo. You know, she is a number 10. She's hot, but she's a prima donna. And it looks good on the outside, but what about the inside? See, I want to challenge. See, defective daters, they're showroom shoppers, man. They're just looking around on the outside. Man, we'll look good together. I'll look good with him. Yeah. He's my next accessory. Yeah. I've heard guys talk about girls as accessories. You need to know that, girls. Guys can be cruel. You need to think about your dating. You need to think about who you see and who you go with. Don't even date for fun. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's a defective dater. You got to pay attention. You can't showroom shop. Don't just look on the outside. I like this verse. Instead, it should be what's in the inner self. The unfading beauty of a gentle, quiet spirit. I like that, unfading. Like I said, you get about 10 years of looking good, then it's downhill, all right? Everybody says 40, it's over. I'm going to tell you, when you're 30, it's over, all right? Count on it. Count on it. When I first came to the church, I was only 27. I first came to the church, and I started playing baseball with some of the teenagers here in town and running around with the teenagers. And I was really good in outfield. I always run and catch the ball, get there before the ball hit the ground. I was 27, 28, and the ball was run, and all of a sudden it falls in front of me. It's like, man, I'm slowing down. I'm only 28. It doesn't take long. It doesn't take long. You need to think about these things. Don't just date somebody because they're good looking and they're hot, man. Woo! That's a defective dater. So I just want to challenge you. What are you going to do? So at the bottom, I put this there. No showroom shopping. You can't showroom shop, all right? Don't walk around the college campus looking for who's hot. I want to be with the in crowd. I want to be one. I want to be, you know, he's got money. Maybe he's a workaholic. She's beautiful. Maybe she's a prima. I don't know. You need to think about this. If you're married already, you need to think about this. If you're a grandparent, you need to think about this. If you're a parent, you need to think about this. And it's never too early, and it's never too late to think about this. I pray. You need to know. I tell you, I pray every Sunday morning as I walk around this place. I pray for the church. I pray for people here in the church. I pray for all sorts of stuff. And I pray for my kids by name as I walk around this church every Sunday. I pray for them. I pray for their marriage. I pray for my grandkids. See, this is not just for daters, and this is not just for married. I want to tell you, you got to do something about this. You can change the success in your relationship by your choices. It's that simple. It's that simple. You can choose to leave this place and take a 50-50 chance going through that intersection. And you can choose to leave this place and take a 50-50 chance on your marriage for the future by dating anybody you choose. Don't do it. Bottom of your page, I put it, I like this. Go slow. Stop, look, and listen. That's what we tell kids. Don't we tell kids when you go to an intersection? Stop, look, and listen. I always find it hard. This is one thing that's confusing to me. How do you get hit by a train? I mean, you got these two middle rails. Something's going to happen down those two middle rails, all right? You know something's going to go down there. And how many people get hit by a train? It's like, duh. Well, I'm telling you, your marriage can be on a train, and it's your choice. It's not easy to be married. It's hard. It's not easy to date. It's hard. It's not easy to live in those relationships, but you can make a choice, and it's your choice. But you got to stop, look, and listen. You got to stop. None of this dating with whoever. You got to stop. Sunday, I it was amazing. I went and seen my granddaughter swim competitively yesterday. And what was interesting to me, you know, I've seen the football. Anybody seen the football people out here on a Sunday? It's the same thing at the site of a swim meet. They have all these awnings parked up, packed up, and stood up. And some people are really nasty, I found out. It was really a test of my pastoring being a Christian. You can ask Stephen. You know, and it's kind of like, And it's no wonder the world, you know, just do this, just do this. I have no doubt why marriages end at 50% when the world sets the standard. Doesn't surprise me a bit. When you're shopping at Lake Havasu on spring break, of course. What do you expect? When you don't set the values up for your children by being in church, getting a small group where they see the values, they hear the values. You know, I always wonder, you know, why do so many football players go bad after making all this money? I mean, I would love to have that kind of money. Anybody? Why do they go bad? Because they were there on Sunday and nobody taught them the values they need to understand how to deal with those millions of dollars when they got them. It's not about God being in church. It's about us. You need to know the church is about us. The church is about your marriage. That's why God put the church here. It wasn't, I want to make them miss football on Sunday morning. No, God's saying, I want your marriage to be successful. I want your children to be raised right. I want your children to have good values. I want your children to make wise decisions. I want you to make wise decisions. That's why God put a church here. That's why Jesus died for the church. Somebody tells you they love God, they love Jesus, they're a Christian, but they don't go to church. They're saying, God, I love you, but I don't like your church. That don't make sense. Don't work. I want to challenge you. Today, will you make a commitment? If you're married, would you make a commitment to your spouse and to God? To make him a part of your marriage. Twice a week. You ever see those commercials? What is it? We live right in the middle of diamonds. Almond, blue diamond. Two cans a week is all we ask. Anybody ever seen that commercial? God is sitting there saying, twice a week is all I ask you to change your marriage to success. Anybody? Anybody want to bite on that one? Twice a week can change your marriage. If you're dating, if he ain't a Christian and he's not involved in church, dump him. You call him and say, your pastor said we're done. And you can tell him. You can tell him this. If I wanted to go with you anyway and get married, he wouldn't marry me to you. You can tell him that. Because I won't. All right? Stop, look, and listen. I want a successful marriage. And I'm not easy to live with. Some of you, Gary, yeah, he's a preacher, yeah. You can ask Laura how hard I am to live with. I pray she don't tell you. Yeah. It's hard being married. It's not easy. Like I said, I'm watching this show last night, and it dawned on me as I was watching the show last night with Bob Hope and Lucille Ball, made in the 60s, trying to have a divorce. There's an older one. There's an older show that the guys were trying to share. It was Walter Matthau and I think it was Walter Matthau and some other guy. And he was showing him how to have an affair. You buy these shirts. You have an extra shirt in your car. So if you get lipstick, you can throw that one out and you have a shirt in your car. Showing him all these tricks. And then he gets busted and the guy chickened out. You know, we don't need the water fountain anymore to have an affair. You got a phone? Anybody got a phone here that has Facebook? Does text messaging? You can destroy a marriage with those things. You don't need a water fountain anymore. You need to think about these things. Where's God in your marriage? Where's God in your dating? I always liked a guy, Jim Robertson. I think it was Jim Robertson, preacher from Texas. We used to go to the drive-in movie theaters, and he always said this, take your Bible and put your Bible between the two of you when you're at the movie theater. Yeah. Seriously. And we'd all joke about it. I could tell you something else. I don't know if I should say this. I'm going to say it. We'd always tell girls, put it between your knees. I don't know if I should have said that one or not, but I couldn't help myself. You got to protect yourself. And this is what I'm saying. Will you go slow? Just go slow. Just go slow. Stop, look, and listen. You can find a lifelong partner, and you can build a lifelong relationship if you build it around God. Do you understand? If you build your relationship around God, it can be a lifelong relationship. I'm looking at the devastation. Like I said, I just off the top of my head, I got named 11 kids in this youth group that are still married to the same ones. 11 of us are still married, active in our churches, participating in church, going to church. That principle twice a week, it's amazing how many of us are still doing that. There's 11 of us that grew up in that church that are doing that. I got this other group over here I can talk about that I know personally. I can talk about a brother who committed suicide. I can talk about a sister who's divorced. I can talk about a brother getting a divorce, and I hope they don't listen to my sermons online because they're hearing me talk about them. They don't cross the doorstep of a church. Have I witnessed to them? Have I shared with them? Yeah. Did I talk about God being part of their marriage? No. Maybe I should have. I'm talking to you. I can't change them, but we can change one another. These are not my ideas. This is not Gary's idea. Date a Christian because Gary said so. God is sitting there 2,000 years ago, and he told you, you want a better marriage? You want a marriage that's going to last forever? Marry a Christian and live the Christian life, and your marriage will last forever. Isn't that what we want? Let's bow for a word of prayer.